Welcome to the Lighthouse Community Podcast. Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's teaching will encourage you in your faith and help you develop an increasing desire to walk with God. Let's listen in.
All right. Hey, good morning. Hey, I got a question for you. I actually want to kind of do like a really quick scientific poll right here in our community here. And I want you to do me a favor. Just raise your hand here in the house if you identify with this statement. Have you ever felt stuck spiritually in your life? Raise your hand if you've ever felt stuck spiritually in your life. Now, keep your hand up. And do me a favor. Just look around for a moment, right? Because I want you to just look, because, all right, you can put your hand down. Also, if you're online, type in the chat, stuck, or something along those lines, because I want you to know, if you're feeling stuck right now, or if you've ever felt stuck, you're not alone. You're not the only one, right? And that's one of the things the enemy loves to try to convince us of, is that you're the only one. No one else is stuck. No one else is in that place. It's just you. And the reality is, we've all been there. If we're walking with Jesus, we've all felt that at some point or another. And I wonder, have you ever thought through why you have felt stuck or why you really were stuck in your walk with Jesus? And there could be a lot of reasons, right? Maybe you were feeling overwhelmed with life. There was too much life and not enough you, right? And you're like right on the edge of burnout. It's just too much. Maybe the reason you were feeling stuck is because you were actually isolating yourself and you were resisting friendship with other believers in your life. And so it was all just on you. Maybe you're feeling stuck because you're just generally resisting the thing that God is inviting you to do. Because maybe you're afraid or you don't want to do it or whatever it might be, but you're kind of stiff-arming the Lord and going, I don't really want to do that. But no matter the reason why you're stuck in that moment, what we can all agree on is when you're feeling that, it's frustrating. It's frustrating to be in that moment. And when you're in that moment and you're there, it can almost feel just hopeless, going, when will I ever get out of this? Because you want to walk in newness of life with God, right? It's one of the reasons you're here. You wouldn't be here today if you didn't want to know who God is and walk with him. But when you're stuck, you're not. You feel exactly that way. I'm moving my tires. I'm trying to get traction and nothing is happening, even though I want to walk with God in the newness of life. And the Bible talks about this new life. Right? The Bible is very clear in many places that if you're in Christ, you have new life. Right? Jesus promised that those who would put their hope and their faith in him would experience new life. But I feel stuck. What do you do? What do you do? Because those things don't seem to be in alignment with one another. Well, today what I'd like to do is I want to show you from the Bible how the Bible describes new life, what that looks like through Jesus' resurrection, and then I want to invite you to consider two steps that you could actually start today that would help you step into your new life in Christ. So if you brought a Bible with you, I'm going to ask you to open up to Romans chapter 6. Romans is sixth book in the New Testament, so it's after the Gospels, it's after Acts. You're going to go to Romans chapter 6. And while you're going to Romans 6, I do want to take a moment. I want to welcome you. If we have not met yet, my name is Fritz. I'm one of the pastors here. I'm really glad that you made it, especially on Time Change Weekend, right? I'm still in the process of waking up. So at some point in the sermon, hopefully that will happen. Maybe that'll be the same for you. Maybe it'll go the other way, depending on how the sermon goes. But I do want to welcome you, especially all of our guests. Thanks for coming out today and being with us. I want to welcome those who are joining at Lighthouse Online, wherever you might be joining us today. Really glad you're with us. And hey, can we do a favor real quick? Can we just give a quick shout out to our man, Toby Powell, running the camera this morning? Like, he does such a good job every week. Grateful for him. He sweats because he's just chasing me across the stage with that camera and trying to stay on track there. So yeah, we're grateful for Toby and all of our volunteers here. But we're in this series called Our Only Hope. And we've been explicitly looking at the resurrection of Jesus. Why the resurrection of Jesus is the cornerstone to our faith. And without it, Christianity doesn't matter. If there's no resurrection of Jesus, everything we're doing here doesn't matter. We should actually pack up and go home and never mention the name of Jesus again. But thankfully, the resurrection is real. Jesus' resurrection is true, and that changes absolutely everything. And so before we go any further, I want to take a moment and pray. So let's bow our heads and pray. God, I am thankful that the resurrection is real. Historically, it is real. Spiritually, it is real. In my life and in the lives of so many others, not only in this place, but around the world, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is real. And because it's real, everything else we do matters. And it echoes into eternity. And my prayer today is that through the clear teaching of Scripture, through the reading of Scripture, that your Holy Spirit would open eyes and would lead us to truth and the reality of who Jesus Christ really is and what he has done. And there would be this very clear invitation from you saying, if you want to live new life, come to the Son. Come to the Son. That's the only way you get to the Father. It's the only way you receive the Holy Spirit. It's the only way you step into new life. And so, Lord, lead us to that place today, we pray. We ask these things through Jesus' great name. And everyone said, amen. Hey, we're in Romans 6 this morning. We're going to start right in verse 1 and read just a couple of the passages that are here. And this is what it says. You can follow along on the screen behind me. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means, right? Today's translation would be no way, Jose, right? But we are those who have died to sin. How can we live it in any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that, this is really important, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. This is what the resurrection draws us to. And so one of the first things I would want to put forward that comes out of this passage and new life is that new life comes through Jesus' resurrection. New life comes through Jesus' resurrection because that's what happened. When Jesus was raised from the dead, he was raised to a new kind of life, right? We talked about this on week one, and so I'm not going to dive into it heavily, but you could go back and check that out. And so when you look at the gospel accounts and what it says is that Jesus, after his death and after his resurrection, he was alive. But it's this kind of new alive. It's similar to the way he was alive before, but now he's more alive than he's ever been. It's crazy and it's incredible and it's amazing. And he's got a body after his resurrection. It's kind of like his body before the resurrection, but it's new and it's got these amazing capabilities. And it's right, there's even to the level where some are going, I think that's Jesus, and it's not until he speaks to them or reveals himself that their eyes are open up, like, oh my goodness, this is Jesus. And then also, when he was raised from the dead, he was raised in victory over sin and over death for all time, right? These things and more are all true about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And what Paul said is that when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, when you're born again by grace through faith, in him and his work alone. What he says in verse 4 is that in that moment, you've been buried in death with Christ, and you've been raised to new life in Christ so that you can actually live this new life, that it can be a reality. In fact, in another letter that Paul wrote to another group of believers in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, he puts it very, very plainly. In fact, let's do this. Let's read this passage out loud together, beginning with, therefore. Are you ready? Go. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is, yeah, that plainly. If you're in Christ, The old is gone and the new has come. And so you have to understand that the only way you get to new life here and forever is through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You have to put your faith in Jesus. You've got to put your faith in him as a person, and you've got to put your faith in his work that he's accomplished on your behalf. And so new life only comes through the resurrection of Jesus. Here's the second thing that Paul really exposes in Romans chapter 6, and it's this, is that new life is a change in your relationship. And first, it's a change in your relationship to sin. New life is a change in your relationship to sin. What has happened when you come to faith in Jesus Christ is that Jesus has decisively changed your relationship with sin. See, what it says in Romans chapter 6 is that before, outside of Christ, you used to be a slave to sin, but now sin is no longer your master. If you're in Christ, you are not mastered by sin anymore the way that you used to. And what Paul is saying is that sin has lost its power to use you. If you've been buried with Christ and raised to new life, sin has lost its control over you because it is not your master. Why? Why is sin no longer our master if we're in Christ? Well, Paul tells us why. He says, you are now dead to sin. That's why. You're dead to sin. And so your relationship is profoundly changed. I know that in this room, many of us have experienced the death of somebody close to us. And if that has been the situation that you faced, you know that when that happens, when that person passed away, your relationship with them drastically changed, right? Your relationship with them drastically changed. How so? Well, because you can't spend time with them anymore. You can't be with them the way that you used to anymore. You can't meet them up for coffee. You can't go to the movies together. You can't sit across the table and have conversations, go fishing, go on trips, all that kind of stuff. When somebody passes away, your relationship with them is profoundly changed. And Paul says, that's what your relationship with sin is like. You are dead to sin. As far as sin is concerned, you're dead. You're not available to hang out anymore. You're not, right? The relationship has been profoundly changed. Here's how the relationship with sin has changed. It's over. It's over. And we are never, ever, ever. Thank you. Right? It's done. It's over. Your relationship with sin has changed. But Paul also says your relationship with God has changed. Your new life is a change in your relationship with God. In the same way that Jesus has decisively changed your relationship with sin, now you're dead to sin, Jesus has decisively changed your relationship with God. In fact, the language that Paul uses is he says, you are now alive to God. You're now dead to sin, and now you're alive to God. See, what's amazing is you used to be dead to God. Outside of Christ, you used to be dead to God. You were separated from God. You, outside of Jesus, you have to hear this, you're an enemy. Outside of Jesus, you are an enemy of God. You are under his wrath. And if you leave this world outside of Jesus, you suffer the totality of his wrath. That's true. That's the reality. And so new life is a change in your relationship with God. You're now alive to God. And new life is twofold. It's twofold in this way. One, it's the understanding, it's the knowledge of the truth that new life means you are forgiven. New life means you are born again. New life means that you are adopted as a son or a daughter of the King. New life means you are accepted. New life means that you're blessed. And you walk in the presence of God always because the Holy Spirit resides within you. That's the first half of new life. The second part of new life is this, is that knowledge, that truth, new life always leads to a new way of living. If it's really taken root, it always leads to a new way of living. And the new way of living is things like this, relying on God for everything. Humbling yourself to serve those around you. Shifting your priorities away from what you want and towards what God desires for you. New life is inviting others into the gospel in the same way. This is new life. And when you have received new life through the resurrection of Jesus, your relationship with God has changed. It's changed forever, right? And so this is what Paul brings forward. New life only comes through the resurrection of Christ. New life changes your relationship with sin, and new life changes your relationship with God. That's all true. In 1863, President Abraham Lincoln put out a declaration, and he declared that all of the slaves in rebel states in the Union are now free. 1863, that happened. And it was a monumental moment, not only for our country, but for all of the people that that deeply affected. Now, I want you to imagine for a moment that you are a person living in that time. And in fact, you are a person who was born into slavery during that time. And in 1863, word gets to you that all the slaves, every slave everywhere in the states in the Union, especially those who are rebelling against the Union, are now free. Now add on top of that, imagine that you are able to escape and you're able to get to the north, you're able to get to one of the actually true free states, and now you're there, right? Now you're actually free. Do you think on day one that you would immediately start living new in all aspects? It would take time, right? It would take time to know that no one else around you can make you be a slave again, that you're free, that you get to choose what you want to do. You choose who you work for and who you don't work for. You can, right? Your whole life is completely different now. Do you think all of that begins to take shape practically on day one? No, the reality is this, that it would have taken time for the truth that you're now free to actually penetrate into your heart and into your life in a way that it would change your actions and your behaviors and the ways that you would interact with other people. It would take time. For some, it may be very, very quickly. For others, it may take a very long time. But nonetheless, it would begin to shift. And here's the point that I'm trying to get to, is this shift from understanding that you have new life in Christ, that that's true, right? That your relationship with sin has changed and your relationship with God has changed. That truth, there is a shift where that truth now becomes real and it actually transforms the way that you live. There's a moment where the truth enters in and you go, oh, wow, that's, I agree with that. I understand that. I understand what that's saying. But then there's a moment where it actually becomes real for you. And that truth begins to transform the way that you live. By the way, that shift from understanding truth to it becoming a reality is actually one of the most frustrating shifts for every Christ follower. It's one of the most challenging for every Christ follower. Typically, when you feel spiritually stuck, you're stuck transitioning from knowing the truth to letting it play out in your life. That's usually where spiritual frustration comes from. I know that this is true, but it hasn't become real yet. That's where the shift comes. That's where the frustration comes in that shift. You know what God desires for your life, but it hasn't become real for you. And so you feel stuck when the truth you understand and the life you are living are out of alignment with one another. That's actually why you feel stuck. That's why you feel frustrated. Because your new life is marked by a change in your relationship with God and with sin, but it all still feels the same. I hear what you're saying, and I know this is true, and yet this is what my life looks like. What do you do? What do you do? You have to shift from knowing to transforming. That's the only way forward. You have to shift from knowing to transforming. And so very quickly, I want to put in front of you two ways that might help you make the shift from only knowing, stepping into transforming, which will help you get unstuck if you're there today. In fact, Paul lets us in on that in Romans chapter 6. We read verses 1 through 4. We're going to jump down to verse 11 and read a couple of these following verses. So it says this: "In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but you are under grace." And so what Paul is saying, if you're stuck, if you're in this transition, you're moving from knowing the truth to letting it be transforming, here's what you do. He starts off in verse 11 saying, count yourself dead to sin and alive to God. That word count yourself actually is better translated, think deliberately. That's actually the better translation, think deliberately. And so what Paul is saying is intentionally focus your mind and begin connecting truth and ideas together. That's what thinking is. He says you actually have to take time to think deliberately. And the reality is this: in our culture, we are far better at reacting and responding than we are thinking. Everything we are engaged in is designed to cause a reaction from us or to cause a response from us. We feel a certain way. We do a certain thing, right? Somebody says something. I don't like what they said. That means I don't like them, right? Oh, that movie made me feel, right? This thing, I reacted this way. And so we're very, very good at reacting. We're very good at responding. We're not as good at thinking because our culture doesn't actually put us in a position to regularly take time to think. And it's not because we can't think. It's just we're not placing ourselves in those positions to do that. And what I want to tell you is Paul says you have to, if you want to shift, if you want to get unstuck, you actually have to take time to think deliberately. And you need to know this. You can actually grow in your thinking. Because I know some of you are going, oh man, thinking, it frustrates me and I'm just not really good at it. Listen, you can grow. It's not that some are born thinkers and others aren't, and you just have to play the cards you're dealt. Every single one of us, God has put the capacity for you to think, and you can actually grow in your thinking. And so I want to throw out a couple of ideas that may help you grow in your thinking. Here's the first one I would say. You've got to schedule time for thinking. In all seriousness, you actually have to set aside time in your day for thinking. For me, let me tell you what that looks like. At the end of my day, I have a daily review. And at the end of my week, I have a weekly review. And it's just, I'm not in bed, because as soon as I get in bed, I'm gone, right? Like that Christina can be talking to me, and I'm like, oh yeah, how was your day? And she's like, oh, then, right? Like, I'm just out. So I can't do it when I'm in bed. So before I go to sleep, I just do a daily review, and here's what my daily review is. I simply look back on my day and go, how was the glory of God revealed through me? How did I sense God speaking to me? What are the moments I got it right? What are the moments I got it wrong? And I just spend time thinking about that. And I think about, how did my life align with the truth of Scripture and the character of Jesus Christ? And the reason I do that is because those situations that I face today, there's a good chance they're going to pop up tomorrow. And if I got them wrong, I want to have an opportunity to get them right. If I need to go back and apologize to somebody, I want to do that. But if I got it right, I want to stay stepping and walk in that as well. And I want to give glory to God for the ways he's using me and growing me. And so I just do the same thing at the end of the week. Sunday, it's in my calendar at 4:00. I stop, I pause, and I think, what happened this last week? How did God move? How's God growing me? How has he challenged me? What are ways that I'm still resisting him, right? I just simply think about my life and the Lord. So schedule time for thinking. The other thing I would say, if you want to grow in your thinking, is read the Bible. Read the Bible and ask questions. Most of the time, when many of us read the Bible, we read the Bible and we look for something that gets a reaction. something that gets a response, oh, that made me feel so good, or oh, that's exactly what I needed today. And I'm not saying that's wrong. All I'm saying is, that's fine, just add thinking to that. Ask questions, right? And propose answers to your questions as you're thinking about it. Well, here's my question, I wonder if it's this. And then go one more layer. Ask questions about the answers you just proposed, right? You begin to see how this layer begins to develop, and you just start thinking. What happens is you start flooding your mind and your spirit with the thoughts of God, and you're letting the Holy Spirit guide you into truth in real time. And the last thing is to think with other growing disciples. Spend time thinking with other growing disciples. The structure we have here is small groups, right? That is scheduled weekly thinking time. That's what it is. You're reading scripture, and you're thinking about it out loud together. Going, is this what the Bible is saying? What does that look like in real life? And you're just thinking out loud. Thinking with other believers could be meeting up one-on-one over coffee or a meal or whatever. You could email, right? You could shoot ideas back and forth. Here's what I'm thinking about with regards to scripture. But Paul says you got to think deliberately. Well, think about what? Paul says, think about the reality that you're dead to sin and you're alive to God. He's talking about the gospel. Take time to think deliberately about the gospel. Think about the reality that you are more evil than you ever dared imagine. And yet, you are more loved and accepted in Jesus Christ than you ever dared dream. Both of those things are true. And if you take time to think on that and let the Holy Spirit transform you in that, right? You begin transitioning from knowing to transforming, and you find yourself beginning to get unstuck. And so Paul says, think deliberately. But here's the other thing Paul says. He says, make yourself available to God, right? He says, don't be an instrument of wickedness anymore, be an instrument of righteousness. And so what he's saying is make yourself available to God. And in fact, I think what Paul is saying is this, make yourself so available to God that you're actually unavailable to sin. Make yourself so available to God that you're actually unavailable to sin. And here's just a couple of thoughts you might consider thinking through. And it's this, consider scheduling some of your day, some of your time focused around your new life. Consider putting slots in your day to intentionally focus, to bring yourself into alignment with God and his character. And here's what I mean practically by that. That you might actually, on your phone or something like that, set reminders multiple times a day to remind you to pray. You might do that. You might set reminders on your phone to spend time reading the Bible. You might put in there your weekly small group meeting time to remind you to prepare for that and show up for that. You might schedule time thinking, right? All of that. But schedule your day, moments in your day, where you are intentionally making yourself available to God. I'll just be transparent with you. If I were to show you my calendar, most days through the week, the only one I don't do this is typically on Friday, but every other day of the week, I could show you my day is almost fairly scheduled from 5 a.m. until the evening with key moments where I know I want to pause, I want to stop, I want to make myself available to the Lord, and I do that. And I know that for some in this room, or maybe some joining, you're going, man, that sounds really rigid. You know what that sounds like? That sounds like legalism. It is. It is. It is if you're trying to earn favor with God. If you're trying to put God in your debt by scheduling your day around him, you're right, it is legalism. But it's not legalism if you're a freed slave who's learning how to live free. Because there's got to be a transforming truth where it actually changes your life. I'm a freed slave who's learning, who's still learning how to live free. And so I need those reminders to make myself available to God. Now, over time, you may need those reminders less and less. And that's great. I would say only use them as long as they're helpful. And when they're not, pitch him. There's nothing in the Bible, right? You can't go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 17 that says schedule your time with the Lord on your phone. Also, there is no 2 Thessalonians chapter 17. So some of you guys, where is that? Read your Bible. right? But make yourself available to God. Make yourself so available to the Lord, you're actually unavailable to sin. I want to throw out two next steps you might consider. They're actually on the back of your connection card. So do me a favor, grab your card, pull that out, flip it over, look on the back. The two steps I want to draw your attention to, the first one is send me the Learn to Memorize Scripture guide. Maybe this week you would make yourself available to the Lord by memorizing 2 Corinthians 5:17, right? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. Right? And let that permeate into your mind. Let that soak into your mind of who you are, and let that change who you are. The other next step you might say is, I'm going to make myself available to God this week. I'm going to make myself so available to the Lord, I'm actually going to be unavailable to sin. And so those are two next steps that could help you get unstuck in your walk with Jesus. But I want to draw your attention to a third one, and it's the one right up at the top. Because if you're not a follower of Jesus Christ yet, you cannot receive new life outside of faith in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. That's where it starts. And if you try to schedule your day, and if you try to, you know, memorize the scripture, that's fine, but that doesn't lead you to new life. Only faith in Jesus Christ opens up the door to new life. Because his resurrection is that which changes your relationship with sin, and it changes your relationship with God. If you're in Christ, you are dead to sin, and you're alive to God. Let that truth transform you. Let that truth change your life. I don't know where you're at today in your life. Maybe you feel stuck today. Perhaps you have felt stuck for a very, very long time in your life, and you're trying life hacks and trying to be better, and you're trying to be more disciplined and all those types of things. But I want to tell you, you don't have to stay stuck. Jesus has made the way for you to step into new life. And again, you have to understand, new life doesn't come through better habits. It doesn't come through really, really rigid, disciplined living. That's not how new life comes. It only comes through faith in Jesus. He gives you a new heart. He ends your relationship with sin, and he begins your relationship with God in a way that you've never had before. As I thought about this idea of new life, this reality, this truth about new life, I was asking the Lord, Lord, if there was a way to sum up just what new life in Jesus really looks like, how could that be summed up? And as I was reading, I was taken to the letter of 1 Thessalonians. And in chapter 4, what Paul does is he writes about what it's going to be like when Jesus comes back. He writes about what it's going to be like and what's going to happen in the lives of the believers and how we are going to be taken to be with Jesus. Those who are alive on the earth and those who are dead will be resurrected to be with him. But he has this description of what it's going to be like when Jesus comes back. And you want to know how he ends that description in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Here's how he ends it. After all of that happens and Jesus comes back and all these amazing things happen, he says, then we will be with the Lord forever. That's what new life is. That's what life in Christ looks like, is just being with the Lord forever. And that's all you've ever wanted, and that's all you ever want. And you can step into that new life now to just be with him, because that's what it is. I want to invite you to bow your heads and to close your eyes. And to ask Jesus this question, we ask it every Sunday, and it's simply this: Jesus, what are you saying to me right now through this message? And I just want you to listen to him for a moment. God, we are thankful that new life comes through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that there is no other way. That it all depends on you. And we have to put all of our weight and all of our faith and all of our trust and all of our hope in you. And when that happens, you welcome us into new life and you continue to transform us. We're thankful for that. My prayer is for my friends and family who are here this morning or who are joining online, and they feel stuck. They know the truth of what God has for them, and yet that is not real in their own lives today. My prayer is, Holy Spirit, that you would draw them to see that this truth is real. They're actually free. Their relationship with sin is actually over, and they have a new relationship with you, and they're alive. They're more alive than they've ever been, and it would change who they are. Help us to know you and to trust you in really clear ways. One of the ways that God will transform our minds and our thinking is actually through prayer. And so we want to pray for you here at Lighthouse. This is something we absolutely love to do. This is a really good gift that we're able to give to one another. And so what I'm going to ask is, I'm going to ask our prayer leaders if they'll start moving to the four corners of the room. And I thank you guys for doing that. And so we're going to have prayer leaders available in each corner. We'll have one up here by the cross, one over here on my left by the sign, over here by the sound booth underneath the clock. And then we got Mama Carla guarding the double doors. You ain't getting out unless you get prayed over. By the way, hey, if you're joining us online, this is one of the really good gifts. And if you've never come to Lighthouse, what a great opportunity to come. And this is one of the beautiful ministries we're able to provide one another with. And so what's going to happen is the band's going to come and they're going to lead us in one more song. And during that song, you're going to have an opportunity to head to one of those corners and to pray with a leader who is ready and prepared and trained to pray with you about absolutely anything that's going on in your life. And I know sometimes there can be a level of going, well, I don't know, I'm really nervous to go up there, or going, you know, I would feel ashamed if I went to the corner because maybe people would think I have some massive problem going on in my life. And so I don't want to go to one of those corners. Can I tell you something? That is the enemy trying to keep you from stepping into a way for the Lord to change your life. And so please don't be embarrassed. Please don't feel ashamed. You don't have to. This is just simply a good gift. There are most Sundays I head to one of these corners because there is a blessing in having another believer to pray for me, to bear the burdens that I'm walking with. And it's not that I'm not praying about them on my own. It's not that Christina and I aren't praying about those things together. There's just something wonderful that the Lord does when I share what's going on in my life with a person in this corner and they look at me and they go, I get it. Let me pray for you. And then the Spirit leads them in just the most Spirit-led prayer that's true and biblical and scriptural, and it's wonderful. And so I don't want you to resist that blessing for your life. I hope you'll leverage that this morning. So if you're here in the house, I'm going to ask you to stand as we prepare to worship God and for prayer, and I want to pray for you. Holy Spirit, my prayer today is the same as every single weekend. My prayer is that you would draw every single person who needs prayer right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to learn more about Lighthouse Community, check out our website at mylighthousecommunity.com or connect with us on Facebook. You're invited to join us live Sunday mornings at 9:09 or 11:11. Thanks again for listening to the Lighthouse Community Podcast.